this really be the end? Should be stuck inside a mobile with the Memphis Blues again.
Welcome back to the Jeff Moore Show with FM Talk 106.5. Thanks for staying with us on this Friday. We do appreciate it. Text line 251-343-0106. Still to come about an hour from now. Chris Elliott, our returning champion, will be with us. So make sure that you stick around for that. But joining us now here in the Fairhope Bureau at FM Talk 106.5 is Austin Sidwell. He's a candidate, Republican candidate for Congress. Austin, good morning. How are you?
Hey, how are you doing, Jeff?
Hey, doing well. Doing well. Thanks for coming by. We do appreciate it. Let's kick it off here. You're a formally declared candidate for the 1st Congressional District. What led to your decision to run here?
I just think our country's in a place where if men that aren't connected to the establishment don't step up, then we're going to lose it. And I think it's somebody outside of politics needs to step in and get back to representation like it was meant to be under the Constitution.
Well, and kind of elaborate on that a little bit. You know, where are we failing? What?
So, I mean, I think we see it with Trump, right? Like, you can agree, disagree. No one's going to agree with everything he does, but you can. I think we all agree that he's a fighter, right? Anyone that's going to get shot for this country is a fighter. And he's sitting out there fighting every single day for the normal people of this country while he's getting pushback from Congress, right? The establishment, the bureaucracy that makes up the swamp in Congress, it's career politicians that go up there and get bought into special interests and the money and the lobbying that goes along with it instead of advocating for the people of their district.
Yeah, and so, you know, and I hear this whenever someone runs and then you get up there and you're one of 435, and, you know, how do you overcome that? How do you, you know, you're that one member for South Alabama, and it's there's some like-minded individuals. Now, some of them go up there like-minded and then they get corrupted by the system, but like getting that entire ship turned in a different direction. What do you see?
It's definitely going to take one at a time. I mean, one of 435, what am I going to do? Especially when I'm advocating for putting the district over leadership, district over party.
Right.
We need to be okay with fighting for the conservative movement, especially in a district as conservative as ours,
right,
and not worry about the career of it, right? Like, you can still be a mouthpiece in the district. There's still a certain part of being a congressman that will allow you to bring attention to the problems here over some of the national issues that get the constant spotlight.
Let's hone in on that. You said some of the problems here. What do you see those as?
Well, I mean, across our district, you got Fort Rucker. That's the backbone of the Wiregrass, right?
Right.
I spent 6 years flying helicopters there as an instructor before I moved back to Baldwin County. And Fort Rucker's facing a contractor-owned helicopter and a contractor-operated new contract that's going to last over 20 years. Well, there's nothing that ties that contract to Fort Rucker. There's 30,000 jobs associated with Fort Rucker. And if we don't make sure that contract stays there, it's going to get moved out of the Wiregrass.
Right.
Now, here we've got projects all over the place where when does Baldwin County get leadership? When does Baldwin County actually get attention and funding from the federal level? We've got the I-10 bridge project that is only funded, less than a fourth of an interstate highway is getting funded by the federal government. And the onus is going to be put on the taxpayers here, both through LDOT and then the rest of it through a toll
right
over the bridge.
Well, and so that's sort of the legacy of Mobile, or not Mobile, but Alabama. Members of Congress has been bringing home the bacon, if you will. But on the other hand, there is a constituency, a desire for doing what you talk about and draining the swamp. And, you know, so how do you find that right balance where you're going to be the breadwinner for your district, but also you want these changes in the country before the country goes in a bad place, right?
It's about accountability and transparency, right? The accountability comes not from, you know, party leadership. The accountability comes from the district getting out and voting for people that actually represents their needs. The transparency aspect of it and how to link it all together is we need to allocate money to the states. We're seeing the fraud in Minnesota. Trust me, it's here too. But the only way that we fix that is we actually have transparency to where the money is going, right? The federal government doesn't have money for our bridge project because they're sending $400 million more to Ukraine.
Right.
Like, we need to go out and find the federal money that is our tax money and get it pointed in the right direction in the states. And then we need to follow up with the states and not making sure that it's not landing in the pockets of the bureaucracy and it's actually getting to the projects it was allocated for.
So philosophically, I mean, there's a lot there.
Because then it
comes down to talking about like domestic policy, foreign policy, mm-hmm. where your vote would go, defense authorization bills, things like that. And you're well aware, I guess, being a having those ties to Fort Rucker like you do. And whenever you talk to these politicians in Alabama about this, it's like Alabama's the best bang for the buck, right? You could do it here at a much lower cost. Is that sort of the way you see it, that keeping that helicopter contract here in this district and not looking at, I don't know, downsizing or down, I mean, Trump wants to spend more on the military.
Yeah.
Is that the right approach?
Well, it needs to go to the right places. We need people that have actually been there. So one of the things, just for example, flying helicopters, I tried to fight for getting Bose headsets, noise-canceling headsets for our guys there, getting them put in the helmet. But no, that's a different pot of money while we're getting Garmin watches and stuff sent to us in the squadron to the tune of $30,000 to meet the spending needs for, you know, so we get the next budget bill the next time. So it's about making sure that the money goes to the right places. It's common sense politics.
Yeah. So, and you see, I guess, firsthand that, okay, we need this, but DC has decided you're going to get this. And then you realize, well, why are we getting this?
And it's because politicians that want a career, that want to impress leadership, that want to move up the ladder of the bureaucracy,
right,
they're going to kowtow to that and not actually represent the interests of the people. There are going to be some things that me as the representative for the First District of Alabama, I disagree with the party on, right? I disagree sometimes with the president. But what we need is a Congress that's going to act in that interest in that branch of the government to represent the people. And then you have the other mechanisms of government that brings that all together.
Right.
It's federalism. That's how it's supposed to work.
I'm joined by Austin Sidwell here. He's a candidate for Congress in the 1st Congressional District. Tell us a little bit about yourself. I should ask you this at the top, but I didn't. But, you stated why you're running, but how did you get here? You're sort of beyond your military experience.
Yeah, absolutely.
How did you get to this point?
So I grew up in Baldwin County. I wasn't born here. I was born in Georgia, where my dad started his security company, just a small unarmed uniform security company that he grew in Atlanta. We got too tired of Atlanta. My mom's from Mobile. And so when I was 10, we moved down here, and I grew up on Fish River and here ever since. Went off to the Air Force Academy after I graduated Foley High School, and lucky enough to get a pilot training slot, and went on to fly helicopters, both Blackhawks and Combat Search and Rescue, and then Hueys at Fort Rucker. I got out of the Air Force in 2023 and moved back here to take over my family's security company. And that kind of leads to, oh, I'm 35. I just started in the business world.
Right.
Why am I doing this? It's because, you know, when Barry Moore stepped out of the seat and I took a look at the candidates, there's not any that represents the interest of this district. This is a crazy district that has wildly different economic levers. It has
right.
wildly different interests, but you need someone that's both lived in every aspect of the district and understands it. And you know, it's a God thing for me. God kind of laid the groundwork for allowing me to get here. We didn't file until November. And a lot of that time was me and my wife praying and looking at our life and our family and, okay, are we ready to get into this? And
right.
You know, I can't go home and look at my kids and say that I did everything to give them the America that I had unless I step up and do my job and serve our country once again.
Well, and so the, you know, you mentioned the current slate of candidates leaving much to be desired. It's the problem, I guess, part of it at least. So it's kind of a crazy drawn district. It's from state line to state line. It has different. It's a very diverse economically district. It's not a district that should have ever been drawn, in my opinion, but it is what it is, and that seems to be where part of the problem is, because the candidate, it's not like a one size fits all necessarily.
It's not. So we need a candidate that actually fits all of it. And I think with my experience at Fort Rucker, I lived in Dothan for almost 6 years, Enterprise for a year, and then moving back here and being from here, right? We can talk about the Mobile Bay project and all the dumping that's going in there, because I grew up driving my boat on Mobile Bay, right?
Right.
I grew up on Fish River. Like, I know this area, and it's it's time we have a representative. Baldwin County represents almost 62% of the vote in this district still with the Wiregrass added in. So we need people that will represent the Wiregrass, but we need the leadership to come from Baldwin County.
Well, it's interesting you say that. I mean, it's a very Baldwin County-centric district, but it's not a... It's not all bald. I mean, and you talk about the ag. I mean, that's the old second congressional district. It was peanuts and propellers.
Yep.
And the first congressional district, it was coastal. Has always been different from the rest of the state. And now you have this, you know, so finding that balance.
And a lot of the ties between the two is in ag, right? I mean, our farmers are suffering right now. You talk about peanuts up in the Wiregrass. It's the same thing going down to our farmers here. We're watching them. You know, family farms that have been around for generations are getting taken up by land grabs because we don't have any control on the development that's going on here. But they just need the support, right? Peanuts is it's a losing crop right now.
Right.
They have too many third parties that are in there, and we're not allocating the right federal funds to help the farmers now. I think the last time we really looked at subsidies was back in the 70s or 80s, right? Like, we don't adjust. Congress does not move fast enough to help people in the current economic climate. And part of that is, you know, what are they fighting for? Are they fighting to not rock the boat? Are they fighting for special interest? Or are they fighting for the district? Because if they're fighting for the district, then we would get a lot of these things done. Why is EBT program on the farm bill, right? Like, there's simple things that we can look at. That's a political move. Right, that's a move, a bunch of special interests tied together, and everyone tried to formulate it into a bill. And we haven't done anything for decades with it, and now the end state of that is our farmers just being beat up constantly.
Well, it seems like the phenomenon in agriculture sort of changed after COVID, and you know we were at this place where you had this spiraling inflation. But the cost of inputs skyrocketed, but the return on investment there just never,
not there.
It never went.
No, I mean, fertilizer up in the Wiregrass, I know this there, and I don't know what the prices are here, but they went from, I think it was $300 a ton to $1,200 a ton, like in the last couple of years. That's just an increase in the input that we can't keep up with.
So something, I mean, there's something wrong in the curve there, though. Somebody's benefiting.
Yes.
So, like, how do you, as someone in government, and you know, we want limited government, like, how do you grapple with that problem then?
Well, I think it goes back to the same thing I've seen. So I'm 35 years old. I turn 36 tomorrow, actually. And my entire life, we've said the same thing as conservatives, right? You hear the text messages you see. I've been listening to your show. It's the same thing. It's big government. It's the same talking points that we have conservatives have had my entire life. And there is one thing that hasn't changed, and that is the career politician in the establishment that's up in D.C.
Right.
So that's what we attack. That's the first thing we attack. And you said there's 435 of them. Well, look at Tim Burchett. Look at what Luna's doing out of Florida. Like, there is a faction of them that are starting to break away, that are advocating for term limits, to quit insider trading. But that's attacking the establishment. The only way that we actually overcome that is one at a time. We put one in at a time that is actually not tied to that and that believes in representing their people over, you know, the big government bureaucracy and all that entails.
So you got a tough election ahead of you here. I mean, what do you do? I mean, obviously coming on shows like this is important, but you know, you're playing catch up. How are you? You know, and people listening to this, you want them to take you serious. How do you close the gap here and get in the pack here?
The way is that the American people, and it's a moment, right? Like, I do not think that I'm here without a president like President Trump. I do not think I'm here without the information flow. And frankly, the American people are pissed off. So you want to close the gap,
right?
You want to not be ticked off at your government? You want to start to trust your government? Well, it's up to the voters. It's up to the voters to go out and say, you know what? This candidate's not taking establishment money. I didn't go out and fundraise for 2 months like everyone else did before I got into the race. I think my first donation was my parents and my own personal money, right? And we will build it from the ground up. I was told to not get into this race unless I could either have $1 million back or write $1 million check. That is not how our representative government is supposed to be. It's supposed to be one of us. And the only way we overcome that is that each of us, we the people, step up and say it's enough. And we're going to get the name recognition out there. I'm getting out. I'm at every single event I can be at. And tell your radio show, if y'all got an event you want me to be at, you want me to come talk, I'll come talk to you. I don't care where it's at in the district. I'll be there. I'll adjust my schedule. It's about the people over the bureaucrats.
And I guess that's sort of the mantra here. Before we get to the get a break in here, talk to us a little bit about what lies ahead for you. What are you, you know, just talking to the show, but other opportunities you see. How can people get in touch with you?
So go to find us on SidwellForCongress.com. You can get a lot of information with me. We're on all the social medias, Facebook, Instagram. I'm on X, so look me up. I'm honest. I'm going to tell you exactly how I feel about current situations, and my number is getting out there, so reach out to me. If you see me, stop me, ask me the difficult questions.
Well, let's get a break in here. We've got Austin Sidwell for just a few more minutes on the other side. Stick around. This is the Jeff Poor Show on FM Talk 106.5.